"And what are your eyes popping out of your head about now?" asked Marilla, when Anne had just come in from a run to the post office. "Have you discovered another kindred spirit?" Excitement hung around Anne like a garment, shone in her eyes, kindled in every feature. She had come dancing up in the lane, the wind blown sprite, through the mellow sunshine and lazy shadows of the August evening. "No, Marilla, but oh, what do you think? I'm invited to tea at the manse tomorrow afternoon. Miss Allen left the letter for me at the post office. Just look at it, Marilla. Miss Anne Shirley, Green Gables. That's the first time I've ever called Miss. Such a thrill as it gave me. I shall cherish it forever among my choicest treasures. Miss Allen told me she meant to have all the members of her Sunday school class to tea in turn," said Marilla, regarding the wonderful event very coolly. "You needn't get in such a fever over it. Do learn to take things calmly, child." For entertaining calmly would have been to change her nature. All spirit and fire and dew as she was, the pleasures and pains of life came to her with troubled intensity. Marilla felt this and was vaguely troubled over it, realizing the ups and downs of existence would probably bear hardly on this impulsive soul, not sufficiently understanding that the equally great capacity for delight might more than compensate. Therefore, Marilla conceived it to be her duty to drill Anne into a tranquil uniformity of disposition as impossible and alien to her as to a dancing sunbeam in one of the brook shallows. She did not make much headway, as she sorrowfully admitted to herself. The downfall of some dear hope or pain plunged Anne into the deeps of affliction. The fulfillment thereof exalted her to dizzy realms of delight. Marilla had almost begun to despair of ever fashioning this waif of the world into a model little girl of demure manners and prim deportment. Neither would she have believed that she really liked Anne much better as she was. Anne went to bed that night speechless with misery because Matthew had said the wind was round northeast and he feared it would be a rainy day tomorrow. The rustle of the poplar leaves about the house worried her. It sounded like pattering raindrops. The full, faraway roar of the gulf, to which she listened delightedly at other times, loving its strange, sonorous, haunting rhythm, now seemed like a prophecy of storm and disaster to a small maiden who particularly wanted a fine day, and thought that the morning would never come. But all things have an end, even nights before the day in which you're invited to take tea at the manse. The morning, in spite of Matthew's predictions, was fine, and Anne's spirits soared to the highest. "Oh, Marilla, there's something in me that makes me just love everybody I see," she exclaimed as she watched the breakfast dishes. "You don't know how good I feel. Wouldn't it be nice if it could last? I believe I could be a model child if I were just invited out to tea every day. But, oh, Marilla, it's a solemn occasion too. I feel so anxious. What if I shouldn't behave properly? You know I never had tea at a manse before. I'm not sure that I know all the rules of etiquette. Also, although I've been studying the rules given in the etiquette department of the Family Herald ever since I came here. I'm so afraid I'll do something silly, or forget to do something I should do. Would it be good manners to take a second helping, if anything, if you want to do very much? The trouble with you, Anne, is that you're thinking too much about yourself. You should just think of Miss Allen and what would be nicest and most agreeable to her," said Marilla, hitting for once in her life on a very sound and pithy piece of advice. Anne instantly realised this. "You're right, Marilla. I'll try not to think about myself at all." Anne evidently got through her visit without any serious breach of etiquette, for she came home through the twilight under a great high spring sky gloried over with trails of saffron and rosy cloud, in a beautified state of mind, and told Marilla all about it happily, sitting on the big red sandstone slab at the kitchen door with her tired curly head in Marilla's gingham lap. The cool wind is blowing down over the long harvest fields from the rims of fairy western hills, whistling through the poplars. One clear star hung over the orchard and the fireflies are flitting over in Lover's Lane, in and out among the ferns and rustling boughs. Anne watched them as she talked and somehow felt that the wind and stars and fireflies are all tangled up together, something unutterably sweet and enchanting. "Oh, Marilla, I've had a most fascinating time. I feel that I've not lived in vain, and I shall always feel like that, even if I should never be invited to tea at the manse again. When I got there, Miss Allen met me at the door. She was dressed in the sweetest dress of pale pink organdy, with dozens of frills and elbow sleeves, and she looked just like a seraph. I really think I'd like to be a minister's wife when I grow up. Rilla, a minister might end my mirrored hair because he wouldn't be thinking of such worldly things. But then, of course, one would have to be naturally good, and I'll never be that. So I suppose there's no use in thinking about it. Some people are naturally good, you know, and others are not. I am one of the others. Miss Lynn says I'm full of original sin. No matter how hard I try to be good, I can never make much of a success of it as those who are naturally good. It's a good deal like geometry, I expect. But don't you think the trying still hard ought to count for something? Miss Allen is one of the naturally good people. I love her passionately. You know, there are some people like Matthew and Miss Allen that you can love right off without any trouble. There are others like Miss Lynn that you have to try very hard to love. You know, you ought to love them because they know so much and they're such active workers in the church. But you have to keep reminding yourself of it all the time whilst you forget. There's another little girl at the manse to tea from the White Sands Sunday School. Her name is Laura Brownlee and she's a very nice little girl. Not exactly a kindred spirit, you know, but still nice. We had an elegant tea, and I think I kept all the rules of etiquette pretty well. After tea, Miss Allen played and sang, and she got Loretta and me to sing too. Miss Allen says I have a good voice, and she says I must sing in the Sunday school choir after this. You can't think how I was thrilled at the mere thought. I've longed to go sing in the Sunday school choir, as Deanna does, but I feared it was an honour I could never aspire to. Lorette had to go home early because there is a big concert in the White Sands Hotel tonight, and her sister is to recite at it. Lorette says the Americans at the hotel give a concert every fortnight in aid of the Charlottetown Hospital. They ask lots of the White Sands people to recite. Loretta said she expected to be asked herself someday. I just gazed at her in awe. After she had gone, Miss Allen and I had a heart-to-heart talk. I told her everything about Miss Thomas and the twins and Katie Maurice and Violetta and coming to Green Gables, and my troubles over geometry. Would you believe it, Marilla? Miss Allen told me she was a dunce at geometry too. You don't know how that encouraged me. Miss Lynn came to the manse just before I left. And what do you think, Marilla? The trustees have hired a new teacher and it's a lady. Her name is Miss Muriel Stacy. Isn't that a romantic name? Miss Lynn said they'd never had a female teacher in Avonlea before, and she thinks it's a dangerous innovation. But I think it'll be splendid to have a lady teacher, and I really don't see how I'm going to live through the 2 weeks before school begins. I'm so impatient to see her.